Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Welcome back to Finding the Light, Light Being Found. So this is season one, and it is bonus episode one. When my very first time that I went to a support group for suicide loss survivors of partners, I was given this and part of the paperwork. I did not have the capacity to read anything, or I was really struggling at that time. So I did come across this information later, but I was thinking that it would be great to share in a video format, not only just like my spin and take on it through my own experience, which it's different for all of us. So my experience positively is not your experience. It's just something to share with you as you're navigating your curiosity of wanting to understand this. What it's called is the Grieving Person's Bill of Rights, and it was by Alan D. Wolfelt. He's also the director of the Center for Loss and Life Transition. I think that these steps are really valuable to be able to take in and just to know and to own through all of our grieving journeys. And grief is absolutely different for everyone at all times. Each experience that someone's grieving, or each loss, or each person, or dynamic change, relationship, anything that someone's going through where they're experiencing grief, it's different each time and for each person every time. And so it's just kind of powerful and empowering to be able to just harness the knowledge and knowing of understanding that this is my grief and this is how I'm maneuvering in it. And then also to give yourself the grace of the acceptance of knowing that, understanding that, accepting it, and embracing it. So I'm going to share with you each of the different Grieving Person's Bill of Rights. I'll also have this linked down in the show notes if you'd like to access it to either follow along or to bring up later. So the first one is you have the right to experience your own unique grief. No one else will grieve in exactly the same way you do. So when you turn to others for help, don't allow them to tell you what you should or should not be feeling. For me, I think that that's really a big one, and not only for me, but in Western culture specifically, we're in this place where people, especially people that haven't experienced the same type of loss or even a similar loss, feel like they want to, how I view it, is band-aid things, and they're feeling and experiencing their own discomfort. So they want to, also they're experiencing their own love for you. So through that, there's their own discomfort where they just want to help you and have you not be sad anymore, or not be angry or upset or disconnected or whatever it is that you're feeling on the minutia of emotions that come in a grieving journey at any one time. People will let you know what they think you should be doing or how you should be responding. I always look at the word should as an interesting word that's very insightful for myself, because it kind of shines a light for me on when in self-chatter I'm being judgmental of myself. And I really cognitively, as often as I possibly catch myself doing that, switch that word out and reframe the verbiage that I'm saying to myself, where I don't use the word should. So if I have someone else coming to me and saying you should or you shouldn't, when they're supposedly coming from a supportive place and wanting to love me through something that I'm going through, especially in grieving, it is a heightened sense of taking note that I do. Regarding the word. So I think a big part of the first one about having the right to experiencing your own unique grief is whatever that looks like, to give yourself grace through it as you navigate it, and know that it's just unique to you. And we all go through life so differently because we're all so very unique and special and different in our own way, especially through our own life experiences. And through that, that will be part of a lens on how we're navigating our grieving journeys. And there's no like cookie cutter way, or there's no should or shouldn't way within yourself as well. You know, for you to like have ownership and understanding and knowing that, man, I had this expectation and whew, this is shaping out to be different than what I had conceptualized about how my grieving journey is going to go. You know, your heart and your mind are both going through something when you're grieving, and to lean into it. And the next one is you have the right to talk about your grief. Talking about your grief will help you heal. Seek out others who will allow you to talk as much as you want, as often as you want, about your grief. I think one of the things I was sharing throughout the podcast is that it was so important for me to do the, it was really like a sense of community because it was a lot of the same different people. So repetition. So there was a level of intimacy in our suicide loss group for partners where there was just a level of beauty and emotion in our interactions, because we knew like a little bit of backstory each time from the repetition of getting together and it being a small intimate group. If you don't have that near you, there's also a lot that can be provided for you in not only some of the online groups that are available and prevalent now, as well as if you're in military, TAPS. So the links to all of those are in, I think, like episode 3. There's also Facebook groups that are really wonderful too, that it brings just a sense of calm and exhale and acceptance to be able to know that at those places of my journey, I was amongst people going through like the same, just oh, and that these people understood what I was going through because to a certain extent, they were also feeling their own grieving journey in a similar manner. And what we do all have in common is that we understand suffering to a certain extent, when we understand what it is to feel pain and emotional pain. And so these became safe places to be able to express them as well and have them be well received. Also, talking to the computer has been so amazing for me in my processing too. So even if I mean, probably like the more I unfold this, the more I'll be like, wow, that was so amazing for me to be able to do. Because when you're thinking outside yourself and feeling outside yourself in third person, you're able to process more from an observing point of view, where for me, where I could just navigate my emotions in a really deep manner that was serving me and loving me throughout my grieving. So that's something that worked for me, and it might work for you too. Also, journaling has been really helpful for a lot of people, or blogging, just getting things out and being able to share. Yeah, I think that is pretty major and part of my healing for sure. You have the right to feel a multitude of emotions. Confusion, disorientation, fear, guilt, and relief are just a few of the emotions you might feel as part of your grief journey. Others may try to tell you that feeling angry, for example, is wrong. Don't take these judgmental responses to heart. Instead, find listeners who will accept your feelings without condition. I feel like that kind of goes back to the word should and what I was just sharing about that. When you're in the middle of this, it's kind of hard to get on the outside of it and realize that most of the time people are coming from a good place and they really just want to try to fix something or resolve something or take away your pain. Sometimes it's even like a mirror into their own pain that they're feeling that they have discomfort with because they haven't worked through it. And it's able, I'm able to like really give those people grace as well, the more I've healed in my own journey and like love them through my own internal emotions and feelings and thoughts towards and with them as they share those things with me, of wanting to fix, not wanting to see me upset or whatever it is that they're going through, where they're throwing out should words or places of judgment, for me to know like that they just have some more healing to do. And that it's okay for me not to take it personal. Yeah. You have the right to be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits. Your feelings of loss and sadness will probably leave you feeling fatigued for sure. Respect what your body and mind are telling you. Get daily rest, eat balanced meals, and don't allow others to push you into doing things you don't feel ready to do. I think boundaries is a big deal. And for me, I think that they were just inbuilt in my journey because of the word fatigue right there. A lot of the times I didn't have the energy or capacity for anything outside of what I was actually going through, other than to try, because that's what it felt like to care for myself and my animals. Literally, that was it. And that was, I felt like a big feat every day. Hygiene was, as well as even eating. I just didn't. I just couldn't. And so I do think that also understanding and knowing that I was going through that and loving myself through it, and in that manner, that looks like I accept that I'm not okay right now. And I just can't get together with friends. I cannot check in on certain people, see how they're doing. Like, I can't. My bandwidth is zil, my capacity not present. And so, more so for me, like, to be tolerant of physical and emotional limits had to do with like my own internal journey and to lovingly accept where my capacity was and whenever I'm going through something, wherever it is, and to like really tend to myself. And I think a big part of this journey is, we're conditioned to, oh, don't be selfish, but really you have to fill your own cup before you can help fill others' cups. And I think that the term selfish is incorrect. But I do think like being absorbed in self and understanding how you're flowing and the dynamic in and out, up and down, all around is so important to be able to have that under wraps and know and understand how to navigate and be in the comfort and a state of flow before we can extend outside of ourselves. So for me, that's kind of what that means, like to love myself through all of this. I'm not okay. And not any part of it of where I need to show up for someone else and then beat myself up because I feel like I didn't show up well enough, or they're going through something too, or this, that, and the other. No. Like right now, I need me time. I need to love myself. I need self-care. I need to sit with myself. And whatever that looks like, what if it's not okay, if it's anger, if it's whatever emotion that I'm feeling or going through or experiencing, to give myself the grace to have the boundaries within myself and what I'm navigating to accept that, hey, I need to be here right now for myself, and it's okay. And then to let it go. So that's how I internalize that one. You have the right to experience grief attacks. This was what I was talking about when I was sharing about love spasms. Just all out, straight up emotion on crack, just straight up coming out. So that's what I would, I guess, call a grief attack, for sure, a love spasm. Sometimes out of nowhere, a powerful surge of grief may overcome you. This can be frightening, but is normal and natural. Find someone who understands and will let you talk about it. Yeah.
I had zero capacity to be able to talk about it when I was in those because it for sure looked crazy. If an outsider was looking in, I'm sure it would just be like, I don't know, I guess you could say ugly crying, or just like sounds would come out of me, just snot and tears everywhere. Just even like walking into different spaces in my home and just losing it in that state of emotion. Yeah, embrace it for sure. Embrace it. And if you need to talk about it afterwards and you have a safe space where you can, you're like, whoa, I just lost it. And it, because it, there's when we go through those things, another like a sidebar here to share with you, when we go through those things, hopefully you're in a state and space in your healing journey that when you feel triggered and it comes on, you don't stop yourself from feeling those feelings, because you need to be in some type of like like that doesn't mean you're this or that or whatever type of self-judgment you might be having, and that you just let it out. It's a part of your, again, emotions or energy in motion that want and need to get out. They want to feel experienced and to lovingly be tender with yourself and say, oh my gosh, I'm having a moment, or maybe it's a 20-minute moment or however long it lasts, to be like, to get it out, to give yourself the grace. I think that's the theme in the grieving person's Bill of Rights here today, to give yourself the grace to let whatever it is out. And it doesn't matter what it looks like or what you think it's supposed to look like or any of that, but to give yourself the gift of feeling whatever it is that you're feeling and that wants to just abruptly come out of you, and be expressed in whatever manner it wants to be expressed. One of the things that was mentioned too was anger up here. So I think that that's an important thing to kind of touch base on as well, because it's also an emotion, energy in motion. It's something that our body wants to experience. And I'm gonna continually always go back to this because it is so fundamental in our healing journeys, is that which we bury rots. And then that manifests as dis-ease in multiple places in your body. And so being able to emote energy in motion, having those emotions come out in whatever healthy way that works for you and your embodiment of having that emotion come out, whether it's by yourself, whether if it's sharing in a group, whether it's sharing in a safe space that you found, whatever that space looks like and whoever is there. One of the biggest things through this journey for me is the comfort came from the least expected people and places. And that's probably going to be a recurring theme for many people on a grieving journey, especially similar to one where you have lost your life partner. Comfort came in the most unexpected of places and people and spaces. And it was really quite beautiful as well, too. Yeah. So, whew. Next, you have the right to make use of ritual. The funeral ritual does more than acknowledge the death of someone loved. It helps provide you with the support of caring people. More important, the funeral is a way for you to mourn. If others tell you that rituals such as these are silly or unnecessary, don't listen. Again, yeah, just really doesn't matter what anyone thinks, for sure. Yeah, unless you're hurting others, or unless you have gone into a space and place where you are actually hurting yourself, it doesn't really matter what anyone thinks, for sure. So there, I did tons of different rituals that just filled my cup with love, filled me up with just gratitude, and they were little things that we used to do all the time, and I put them, I'm looking at our tribute book over here. So I put them into our, Jai and I, our routine, and they just brought me warmth and happiness. And I just really don't care what anybody thought about that. So I know that the ritual here that they're talking about is a ceremony, but culturally, a lot of us have a lot of different rituals. And outside of that, a lot of us have a lot of different rituals that we have done with our partners or loved ones or whomever that we have lost or whatever scenarios we're mourning, that putting our own spin on that ritual brings comfort. So that's kind of how I interpret that one, to really kind of embrace your grieving journey and how you're navigating it. And if you have some rituals up in there that somebody's side-eyeing you on, to let them keep it moving. Yeah. You have the and right you you have the right to embrace your spirituality. If faith is a part of your life, express it in ways that seem appropriate to you. Allow yourself to be around people who understand and support your religious beliefs. If you feel angry at God, find someone to talk with who won't be critical of your feelings and abandonment. I think that I kind of touched on this. I'm spiritual, in an array of different ways on all of these. So it kind of encompasses everything that we've already talked about, but really just being able to express yourself in whatever manner that brings you some type of relief. And for sure, that comes through being in a safe space or being able to share with someone, and also being able to experience what you're feeling and embracing it. You have the right to search for meaning. You may find yourself asking, why did he or she have to die? Why this way? Why now? Some of your questions have many answers. Some may not. Comments such as, it was God's will, or he's better off, are not helpful, and you do not have to accept them. Yeah, so for me and my search for meaning, I think it's so very personal as well. But again, also I'd shared too that this healing journey came with, especially in the beginning and for months, came with a never-ending cross-examination of self. And through that, there were these questions, especially with my background in psychology and human behavior. There were all of these questions that I constantly had for myself, and not necessarily for the universe, to a certain extent, but for myself. And like, what could have I learned from this? How could I have done this differently? What was I not paying attention to? And it really took a long time before I could be tender with myself through the exploration of searching for meaning, to know that it was okay, that I just couldn't have picked up on these things. And to again give myself grace through my own journey and my own grieving, and to let go of the shackles that I had put myself in. And the constant, never-ending beating up of self that I was doing, and the anger that I was feeling was all directed inward on how could I have missed this? How could I have missed this? That's a part of me that will always be here. You know, it'll never go away. I've spent years working on it, working through it, working in it. Embracing it, accepting it, loving myself as I navigate it. You know, it doesn't take away the pain, but it changes the pain with regards to how I dance with myself in navigating my own emotions regarding the pain. And emotion of everything associated with that, which I'm sure that that's something many of us on this journey go through and feel. So definitely be gentle with yourself and tender with yourself as much as you can as you go through the process, and know that all the coulda, shoulda, woulda, who, what, where, when, why, hows are not going to find the resolve that maybe possibly that you're hoping for. I know it's a process. I had to go through the self cross-examination for quite a long time. And if you're in that process yourself right now, I'm sending you so much love. I really had to exhaust all of that myself before I could get to the other side of knowing, and also embracing my journey and everything that I just went through, and loving myself through how who and how I am as a person, and knowing that in our unionship, like, I gave my all, and like beating myself up is not going to serve anyone. It's definitely not something that he would have wanted me to do for any reason. So I think that it's a process to get to where I am. And as you can see, this process will never end for me. It'll always be something where I have to be tender with myself and gentle with myself when I return to my knowing, and I embrace my journey. So you have the right to treasure your memories. Memories are one of the best legacies that exists after the death of someone loved. You will always remember. So instead of ignoring your memories, find others with whom you can share them. That kind of echoes what I've already been also talking about in the previous ones, is having a safe space and being able to get everything out and talk and share, whether that's in a group, any type of a group, whether it's friends, loved ones, strangers. Yeah. So memories are really special. I know that one of the things that we go through that's common is that people don't want to ask us about our person that we lost or talk about memories because they feel like it'll make us sadder. And I can't really remember too much with how I process things and how I showed up for people when they lost loved ones in their lives. Prior to Jason leaving, I'm sure to some extent it was half-ass because I was trying to like help people be okay in my own way, as most people are doing. But through that, I think that like somewhere there's this weird thought that if you bring up a memory you have with someone that is not here anymore, it will cause more sadness. I mean, I like what? I if you have a memory to share with me, even though you might see me tear up, like, oh, what richness there is in me being able to hear that or talk about my love with you. Yeah. So I think that I was able to share with people like, no, I'm fine. Yeah, talk about him. But I wish I would have insisted, like, please talk about him when we get together. Like, if you can share things, and again, this is part of how I heal. If it's something that is difficult for you, you know, we're all different. So maybe that's something where you're still working through things and healing, and maybe that's something that is not invited for you during this time. You know, just to be aware back to the boundaries of what we're feeling and going through, and kind of understanding what we're embodying and having like at least some ability to communicate it to some extent. And I wish that one of the things that I had experienced when people were like, oh, I don't want to talk about him, or like, I don't want to get you more sad, or like skittish weirdness, odd behavior. I wish that I would have had that opportunity at that moment to be like, no, like, I insist, please share your stories with me. Like, contact me any possible time that anything comes up, please. And if you see emotion coming from me, like, embrace that I am enjoying the memory that you are sharing with me. That's it. So Yeah, memories are so beautiful. And one of the reasons why I did my tribute book, I was so concerned that I would lose my memories. Yeah, so maybe even there's a great idea for you and your own memories, like jotting them down somewhere. They down the road, if not immediately, can bring like such I've shared with you in parts of the book that I've shared, it really brings me an abundance of love and connectedness to our union, which is not only here, even though he's gone. We're connected, period. And when I am able to tune in to these memories, I'm tuning in to our frequency and filling us in so many different ways. So the memories are beautiful. You have the right to move forward in your grief and heal. It will not happen quickly. Grief is a process, not an event. Be patient and tolerant with yourself. The death of a loved one changes your life forever. Yes. And also, I'm going to add to that, to be gentle with yourself in thinking that there's some type of expectation of an end time on when you think your grieving journey will be over or complete, or you'll be done with this part of it. I dance and grow and learn with grief, and it will always be a part of my journey. And it's a beautiful part of my journey because it's a beautiful part of me and part of how I express myself and share myself with others. It's my grieving journey is part of my story that I embody in, that I embrace. So I think that just knowing that it'll come in many different forms and different ways and different waves, and will look as you least expected, and to be okay with that as you navigate your journey. Yeah, and I am releasing the bonus episode on Valentine's Day, which is really special to me as well. It was Jason's favorite holiday, which is so absurd. He's a manly man, He's a simple guy. Obviously, he's not here anymore. When he told me his favorite holiday was Valentine's Day, like when you hear a record playing and then it goes sure. Yes, I was like, what? And I had to ask him a few questions about that because I was like, what? Yeah, so it's kind of special that it was his favorite holiday. So every Valentine's Day has a little bit of specialness for me. And I am releasing these bonus episodes in honor of our unionship and his favorite holiday, which was Valentine's Day. I did my trailer on Memorial Day. I released season one on Veterans Day. And then I'm doing my bonus episodes on Valentine's Day. So it's kind of neat that each little thing I've done coincides with a special date. All right. I'm going to wrap this one up. Wherever you are in your journey, please be gentle with yourself because you are listening to yourself. Yes. I'm sending you so much love and light and healing as you navigate your journey. And of course, I'm giving you these big, amazing JAM hugs and all my love. Take good care.